Recording. All right, good afternoon, folks. It's my latest edition of the Miami Hurricanes Talk by Danny podcast. Canes in the Final Four, historic for the first time ever. They will be taking on a veteran of the Final Four who has won national championships before, the UConn Huskies, on Saturday night at 8:50 in Houston at the Final Four. Mark Robbins, who is a veteran in Connecticut for over 30 years, if I'm correct, Mark.
Thanks for making me feel old.
Yeah, 30 years, but 25, was it 24 years now? 30 years at WFSB?
This is my second stint here, but about 20 plus years in the market.
20 years in the Connecticut market. Mark Robbins has given us a few minutes to join us the previous Saturday night's game. Mark, good afternoon. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure, Danny. Thanks for having me.
Number one, here's what stood out to me when I looked at Connecticut. The thing that stuck out to me was the way they shut down teams in the second half of games. I've looked at the numbers from beyond the arc. UConn has held opponents in the second half to 5 for 33 from beyond the arc. They shut you down in the second half. They have been steamrolling everybody in this tournament.
Well, you know, you're doing some good research there, Danny, because I think you're right on there. And their defense seemed to then trigger the offense. They got out in fast break mode. They were scoring inside off the break, and they were also hitting a bunch of dagger threes off the break in transition, in rhythm. And the lead was expanding fast, especially against Gonzaga. You know, Drew Timmy went out at 2 minutes into the second half when he picked up his fourth foul, and it was a 12-point game. And it's the old, I looked up and it was 25-27, you know, in the blink of an eye, because you're right, they shut down Gonzaga. They forced Gonzaga to start shooting too quickly, and then the Huskies got out and started to run, and Jordan Hawkins got hot from the outside, and when they came out to stop him, they dumped it inside to Adama Sinogo.
Yeah, and another guy, Sinogo's another thing, it's Ramadan over there with him, and he hasn't eaten or drinking, what, 18 days, if I'm not mistaken?
Well, right, you fast from sunrise to sundown.
Okay.
So I wasn't in the room, but I'm sure he was eating something at, you know, 4:35 in the morning, going
yes.
to sleep, and then trying to conserve energy. He and two other players were doing that as well. And, of course, Sinogo's, you know, one of the stars, but he was able to, at halftime, he was able to hydrate a bit. And they're fortunate that the game is the second game of the doubleheader. This Saturday with an 8:49 Eastern tip time, so he'll be able, which will be 7:49 in Houston, but it'll be after sundown, so he'll be able to eat shortly before the game.
Okay, yeah. Another thing I look at is off the bench, they have a beast down there, a 7-2 center, Klingon. That's a guy who blocks shots, and he changes a lot of shots.
You're right, and you know, for 7-2 and 260, 70 pounds, whatever he is, he's super athletic for his size, and he runs the floor so well, and he has great lateral movement, which helps him block shots. You know, most of the time, big 7 foot, 6'11 center shot blockers, they block shots when guys come at them, and he's able to go from side to side. He covers ground quickly, got a long wingspan. He's able to get to guys that don't think he's going to be able to get over to their spot because he's not already standing in front of them.
Yeah, look, one of my followers on Twitter says, asked the question, what are UConn's strengths and weaknesses heading into this matchup against the Canes on Saturday night?
Strength, to me, athleticism and their tenacity on defense, shooting the three advocates, might be a little bit surprised.
Wow.
The Huskies are able to do both, and that's the key to their offensive success. They have balance. They go inside and out, and they run an offense. They run sets that utilize the entire court. So many Magic teams run a weave, pass the ball around the perimeter, and to me, it's much easier to guard defensively. The Huskies make you run with them all over the half court, and they're cutting and they're screening, and they're getting guys, Adama Sanogo is a post player from the old days where he'll back you down. So you get, he gets inside, and if you don't double team him, he's got the ability to score against anybody in a one-on-one situation. And if they do double, well, that's when you kick it out. And that's when Hawkins or Joey Calcaterra, or as they call him out here now, Joey California, start dropping threes from the outside.
Yeah.
Defensively, they're so athletic on the wings. Andre Jackson has been tremendous defensively, and he's run the show at the point. That was their weakness at the beginning of the year. They didn't have the true point guard. Tristan Newton, Andre Jackson have developed into that type of player, into those, and together they've developed a consistency that really makes them successful.
Yeah, another question another one of my listeners says, I'd like to know more about UConn. Where do you see them having the matchup advantages, and where can Miami concern Connecticut the most in this game?
Well, I think Miami's very athletic as well, and I think that the open floor is going to be really kind of anybody's game, and whoever gets to the spots, whoever gets in that an advantage. In the open floor, a half a step on the defender, and then both teams have players that have the ability to blow by a defender, especially if they get that little advantage of a half a step, or they're able to turn the corner and get a shoulder ahead of the defender. So I think you're going to see some outstanding up-tempo style of basketball in this game. And if Miami can hang with Connecticut on the glass, and I know they can, I think it's going to be one in the open floor and down inside. Offensive rebounding is going to be a key for both teams.
Yeah, especially when you look at Omer. I mean, what is their game plan to try to deal with Omer?
You know, it's funny. He's a different player than Drew Timmy. He's more of a power player. Timmy has about 400 moves that he uses. But Omer is a power player, so that's going to be such a key matchup. Sanogo is very similar in that sense. And when they go up against each other, I think you're going to see a little bit of hedging to get the ball out of Omer's hand. And I think the Huskies will rely a little bit on their quickness to be able to retreat defensively after they hedge to get back out to an open shooter and try to challenge the open shot. That's going to be important if they decide to double-team Omer down at the post. I know he's a good passer. Both big men can pass the ball. When Donovan Klingon comes in, he likes to play off a little bit and come over then and use his wingspan to alter shots. So I don't know if he'll try to body up Omer too much. He didn't against Timmy. He tried to let Timmy make a move and then react to the move and try and swat it away. He might do the same thing with Omer.
Yeah, the thing that worries me about Connecticut, I looked at, they had trouble in the first half of this tournament is against Iona and St. Mary's. And against Iona, they trailed by two at half before they clamped down and put it away. And I've seen UConn get better and better, Mark, as this tournament's gone on. The way they dismantled Arkansas and Gonzaga, I say, whoa, that's impressive. Those are two very solid teams they just dismantled.
Yeah, they were on a rampage. They just ravaged the West. I made the analogy. They ran through the West like it was the 1800s, and the pioneers and the settlers were moving, you know, across the Mississippi River into the West in our country when it was developing, because they just destroyed everything in their paths and just did whatever they want inside. So it was so impressive. And Arkansas, a very athletic team, but They couldn't handle the pressure on the perimeter. They took bad shots. They took shots that were heavily contested by the Huskies, and they didn't make them. Iona, the thing about the Iona game, and that was basically the closest game they had, was Iona shot lights out. I think they were 10 for the first 13 in the first half.
Mm-hmm. 12 for 27 in the first half, 44%.
Right, but they hit 10 of their first 13 shots.
Wow.
So they were right in the game early. And, you know, but it was still just a 1-point lead for Iona. And then once the Huskies settled in, they were in control. This is a different team under Danny Hurley this year because they've been able to play loose, and then they play well. Or maybe they play well because they play loose. I don't know. Either way, what they do now, they were tight the last couple of NCAA tournaments with Danny Hurley trying to pick up his first win as the UConn head coach in the tournament. So they lost the first round both times. But they're much looser now, playing with a bunch of confidence, and that stems from Danny Hurley.
And to me, I think one of my listeners, just my followers on Twitter, said this. The entire game rests on the Miami guards against the UConn guards. It's going to come down to guards. The UConn bigs, like you said, are going to try to load for Nerchad Omir. That means, what will UConn do to try to take away Nigel Pack and Isaiah Wong in this game?
I think it's going to be pressure. I think they're going to have to deny as best they can.
If you saw the Texas game, Texas did a good job on that yesterday, yes, for the most part.
For the most part, you've got to be consistent. And that's something that the Huskies in the middle of the year had some trouble closing out some games. And that cost them in the middle of the season when they struggled and lost, I think it was 5 of 7 in January and into mm-hmm. February.
Yeah.
That part of it was a consistent effort for 40 minutes. They're not having that trouble right now. If they can put pressure on the guards on the perimeter, the back defense, the front line for UConn is pretty stout defensively. So if they can just challenge the outside, maybe even force Pack to drive inside. Sonogo, Klingon are inside. Alex Caravan, who's an underrated freshman, who just seems to make a bunch of plays. When it's all said and done, you look up and he's got, 9 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists. And you didn't hear the announcer call his name once, but they have guys in the back end of the defense that will protect the rim.
Yeah, yeah. And I look, and the way they shut you down from three land. I mean, whoa, they put the clamps on you, Mark, and they've done that in this tournament in the second half, especially from three.
Oh, absolutely, and I think that's a tribute to their quickness. They're extremely quick, extremely athletic. They can get out and challenge those shooters, and they've done a good job. They can pressure because they know the back of the defense is there to protect the rim and any short jumpers in the lane.
Yeah, I look at the points in the paint, Mark, and the way I've seen UConn in this tournament, I mean, in the point, let's say the last two games, they outscored opponents in the paint by a grand total. You ready for this? In the paint now.
Yeah.
42-36. 78 to 54 in the paint in the last two games. That is impressive.
Yes, and that's why I say the new school, you got to shoot the three to win the game. They're stunned. They're stunned by that. But this team has a great balance. We score inside, it opens up the perimeter, and vice versa. If you hit shots from the outside, the defense has to extend, and that opens up a hole inside, and you can't double team Sonogo, or you can't double team the lob to Klingon is available. They run so many plays, set plays, to get the ball inside the guys in position to score. They'll put Andre Jackson, he doesn't shoot a lot of threes, but he'll get inside, and he's pretty good from 8 to 12 feet. So that's to me, that's what makes this UConn team so dangerous offensively, is their overall balance.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen it. And the way they've dominated this tournament, I say, wow, this team from 1 to 12 is very good. From 1 to 12.
Yeah, they have good depth, and they have learned to play well together.
Yeah, to me, the bench yesterday, to give you a sample, when we played Texas yesterday, the bench yesterday was outscored 28-5. I mean, I'm saying for me, the bench is going to have to be a key in this game, because it seems Connecticut's got a much deeper bench than Miami.
Well, we'll see what happens. Fouls are also, very important in this game. And, if you don't get into foul trouble, you may not need the bench as much. You certainly need it for freshness and rest, things like that. But If you can stay out of foul trouble, then the subs don't have to play as much.
Yeah, that's going to be key for me, Mark, also, the bench. I mean, our bench, we only Miami runs about seven, eight deep in this game. We ran eight yesterday. We'll run seven guys, you know, Walker, Beverly. AJ Casey in there for a little bit. But, you know, to me, it's going to be who stays out of foul trouble. If Norchad O'Meara stays out of foul trouble, you know, that's important. But if we got, for UConn, if they get O'Meara in foul trouble, that's going to be a big advantage for them.
Oh, I would definitely agree with you there. If they can get him into some sort of foul trouble, and they may attack him. They attacked Timmy, and Timmy got into foul trouble. The thing about it is they were attacked, but it's not something usual for them. It's not something that they don't normally do. They're good at their inside game, and so I think they're just going to look to that in the beginning. And if an O'Meara gets in trouble, foul trouble, then Miami's in trouble. But conversely, if Sanogo gets into foul trouble, the Huskies are in a bit of trouble. Kligan will come in and play, and he's good, but he's just a freshman. And
O'Meara's a man.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is, to me, of the two, you're saying the one that's got to stay out of foul trouble, the more so is Sanogo, of the two.
Yes, because he's going to play more. Kligan, he produces, but he only plays 10 to 15 minutes a game.
Yeah, he played 12 against Gonzaga.
Yeah, he plays 12, 13, 15 minutes a game. And yeah, he gets 5 points, three or four rebounds. He'll block a shot or two, and that's great. You know, I don't know if it would play out if he played 28, 30 minutes. I'm not sure he would get 12 points, you know, 9 rebounds and 3 or 4 blocks a game. But in short spurts, he's really, really good.
Yeah, and that's that's going to be the key. So my keys is, one, the three-point shooting has to be there. Because yesterday, to give you an idea what Miami did yesterday against Texas, Miami only shot we only shot a grand total of 8 three-pointers and made only 2 of them. That will not work against a team like Connecticut.
Yeah, you're right. They're going to have to shoot better because UConn is going to pressure, and UConn forces you with their quickness to shoot a little bit sooner sometimes than you want to as a shooter because they're out on you so quickly, and that's what drives the percentages down.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, how do you counter Miami's speed? I mean, does Connecticut have speed like Miami does? Or is this going to be the fastest team Connecticut plays this year?
You know, I thought Arkansas was very athletic. Miami might just be the most athletic, the fastest team that the Huskies have seen this year. I'm trying to think.
Now, who do you think compares in your conference in the Big East to Miami?
Probably Marquette.
Yeah, who they lost to in the Big East championship game by 2 points.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that was a game that, you know, certainly could have gone either way. I think a little bit like Marquette, but, you know, they're really good. They have great spacing, and they have guys that can score from a lot of places on the floor, which is similar to UConn, similar to Marquette as well. I do think it's going to be a fairly high-scoring game, although I thought Gonzaga against UConn would be pretty high scoring,
and they just dismantled. They dismantled Gonzaga.
Yeah, they're the number one scoring offense in the country during the regular season, and they had 54 points. So,
wow.
You know, I think it'll be hard to keep Miami, you know, in the 50s. Obviously, if they did, they'd win. But I think you're going to see a game at least in the 70s.
Yeah, if it gets above 70, does that just concern you, Con? If the game goes higher, like say in the 80s?
No, 80s? I don't think so, because I think UConn can score. Now, you know, they may still lose an 87-85 game, but I don't think they would be concerned about that, other than the fact that they probably wouldn't, coaches probably would think they're not playing very good defense, which yeah, would probably be the case. You got to give some credit to the offense every now and then of your opponent.
Yeah, another thing, I look at the logistics of NRG. UConn has played there. I think, if I'm not mistaken, didn't they win a national championship there?
Yes.
2014, I believe.
2014, yes.
And I yes. yeah, and I think they might have won one
they
in that
bit. They won one in San Antonio.
Yeah, in St. Petersburg, here in St. Petersburg.
St. Petersburg was the first one. I think they won two in Texas. No, they won two in Texas. Yeah. I can't remember what the fourth one was.
I think they've won 99-04, and I think they won another. I'm trying to think one else. I think and the 14 won.
11 and 14.
So it's four. Yeah. So it's four. Four yeah. titles. I mean. Yeah. I think, and I look at, this is going to be three Final Four teams making their debut, and UConn's got the most experience with six.
Yeah, well, the program has a history, because none of these kids...
No, obviously not, you're right.
Everybody on the floor is making their very first NCAA Final Four appearance, let's put it that way.
And when I look, how will UConn prepare for those traps? Because Miami likes to throw those traps from time to time. How does UConn prepare for those?
That will be interesting. Tristan Newton and Andre Jackson have really worked well, kind of as the combination point guard. They both kind of run the offense at times. They're both going to be, when they're on the floor, certainly the most important ball handlers, and making sure they avoid that trap. I think the quickness, quick ball movement, and attacking. The one thing that UConn does a really good job on, even facing pressure without a true point guard, is instead of just trying to beat the pressure, they try to attack and score.
Yeah.
Quick.
Yeah, I think so too.
They don't want the press to set up, and they don't want in the trap or in the back end of the press when guys get covered. So they try to quickly attack and score to avoid any sort of long period of having to deal with pressure defense full court or even half court.
Yeah, the thing is, the biggest X factor Miami has, and we have here, is a guy named Jordan Miller,
didn't he have 24?
Yeah, he had 27 yesterday. He was perfect from both the field, and from the free throw line. Christian Leighton, I think that's very rare. Very
it's
rare.
Only, yeah. Christian Leighton was the first.
Yes, he did.
He's the only one to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
How does UConn contend for trying to stop Jordan Miller in this game?
Well, I think it's a team type of defense. They will double team. They will try to force the ball out of his hands when necessary, and see if they can contain him and not let him get a lot of good looks.
Yeah, you know, you think it's with Miller, because Miller's the kind of guy who's our communicator on the floor, who will guide the offense per se. But yeah, Isaiah Wong struggled yesterday for a little bit before going the second half. I think the matchup I'm going to look at could be Wong against Jackson. Am I correct in that?
You might be, but.
What's that other guard?
I am often wrong, and that's the thing about coaching staffs, too. And these are two fantastic head coaches, and their staffs are so well versed, and they scout so well. So I've been finding that you'll expect what you expect doesn't come to fruition with matchups. They put Drew Timmy on Andre Jackson the other night.
Yeah.
Zaga, and that was to keep Sanogo away from Sanogo, so he wouldn't have to work too hard defensively. So I think you're gonna see adjustments. I've come to learn that those defensive matchups that you most expect are usually the ones that don't materialize.
Yeah, I think the one I look at is the Sanogo Omir matchup is one, but I wouldn't be shocked if maybe Jordan Miller rotates a little bit against Sanogo in this game.
That's possible. Well, there'll be rotations, and they'll switch. UConn switches a lot on screens, so there'll be matchups that are unique or unusual from time to time. You know, bigs on smalls on bigs, things like that.
I'll let you go on a couple. I'll let you go on this. Keys to the game. Keys to a UConn win. And I'll give you my keys to a Miami win.
Okay. I think again, balanced scoring. Inside and out, heavy dose on the offensive glass of Sanogo, Andre Jackson. Newton is a very strong rebounder from the guard spot. So I think offensive rebounding will be a key. Add pressuring the perimeter, trying to keep Pack those guys from getting too comfortable.
My keys to the game, one, the other way, I think, one, get O'Meara involved. Try to get Sanogo in foul trouble. Get the guards going. And get Ruga Poplar, who's been really our X factor, to come up huge like he did yesterday in big spots. One thing we have to do, like yesterday, Miami cannot go 2-for-8 from three land against Connecticut, because Connecticut will take you out of the game very quickly.
I like it. I agree with you.
I say we'll take you out very quickly. Listen, Mark, thank you very much for coming on. I really appreciate it. I'm gonna end the video here, so take care. Enjoy your trip to Houston. We'll talk again soon.
Danny, thanks so much. Really enjoy.